right. The next argued case is number 2209, Custom Play LLC against Amazon.com Incorporated. Mr. Carey, your turn.
Thank you very much, Your Honor, and may it please the court. John Carey for the appellant, Custom Play LLC. We have in this appeal, Your Honor, the same constitutional and statutory violations that were argued in conjunction with the companion appeals. Am I safe to assume that the court doesn't want to hear particularized argument about those issues in this argument? We can refer back to the companion arguments. Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. This case also presents another common issue. This case shares the video clip issue that was present in the case involving the 950 patent. This case involves the 282 patent, and here the board's decision on claims 7, 8, and 18. There's several other claims that are at issue in this appeal, but those three claims are the board's decision on those three claims are predicated on the board's finding that Abacasis's segment constitutes the 282 patent's video clip, and so the board looked to Abacasis to supply that video clip recitation and claim limitation in each of claims 7, 18, 8, and 18. And so if the board was wrong about that, as it was in the 950 patent case, then it was likely its decisions on claims 7, 8, and 18 in the 282 patent failed for the same reasons. There was no other prior art cited in support of the board's findings on that claim limitation for resuming the playing at the beginning of a video clip other than Abacasis' disclosure of a segment, which is not a video clip based upon the definitions of video clip given in the 282 patent and the definition of segment given in the Abacasis reference patent. I in the interest of the court's time, I would like to incorporate by reference my arguments on the reference patent and the claim term. The claim term video clip is defined in both 950 patent and the 282 patent specifications identically the same in the specifications. And so the argument is applicable here as it was over there in the other case. I just don't want to waste the court's time by repeating those arguments. Although I am cognizant of the fact that this argument is being separately recorded and is a record of this appeal, and so
it's the same specification. And so what would be helpful to us, I think, would be to point out if there are any distinctions on which you're relying and the claims are in the prior art.
Yes. Well, for claims 7, 8, and 18, Your Honor, the board relied exclusively on Abacasis's reference to segments to satisfy the 282 patent's limitation for video clip. And for the reasons that I argued in the companion case, we believe that was unsupportable by by the record evidence, which principally consists of the patent, the reference patent itself. The text of the reference patent is the most important evidence here. It defines the term being used particularly, and we submit that definition must be followed. Likewise, the patent under review, the 282 patent, specifically defines video clip in its specification. The inventor was a lexicographer and attached multiple qualifications to what needs to be in a video clip for it to count as a video clip, and those things are not required by Abacasis' segment in the reference patent. So it was error for the board to equate the two, and these arguments are substantially the same as in the companion case involving the 950. So I won't dwell on that anymore. There are some other arguments regarding other claim limitations that we've raised on this appeal relating to different grounds, and I would like to speak briefly about that, unless any member of the panel has further questions on this video clip issue.
Now let's go to the other arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor. Okay, so there's a common limitation in claims 4, 7 through 9, 14, 16, and 19 of the 282 patent. And that limitation is retrieving a video frame identifier responsive to a request location. And the board relied on Armstrong for that, at least in part. It found it cited the Armstrong reference patent. It cited the disclosure there, appendix 1915, about Armstrong plays back a frame counter. And if
just to be clear on this limitation, they alternatively relied on Armstrong, Rangan, and Reckitt, right?
That is correct, Your Honor. So
you have to prevail on each one of those.
For these claims, yes. That's why, I think for claims 7, 8, and 18, we don't. We only need the video clip issue that's predicated on the Abacasis reference for claims 7, 8, and 18. Now I'm talking about other claims, which there are a variety of grounds of rejection, and there isn't just one reference that was cited for this particular limitation that I'm talking about. So for this particular limitation about retrieving a frame identifier responsive to a request location, there were a couple of references cited. But we submit each of those don't disclose this limitation. As it relates to Armstrong, pardon me, Your Honor. In Armstrong, the teaching is that the system there counts the frames, and when the frame number matches a predetermined range of frames, then a menu structure is presented. And I guess I should back up for a second and talk about what this patent is the heart of this patent. This patent, the 282 patent, is about presenting item information to a viewer while you're watching the video. So, for example, the idea here is the specification discloses if a song is played during a movie, there could be an indication like a musical note could appear, and the user could click on the musical note and it would then identify the song. And you could even provide a link where the user could download the song to their media device. There could be an item of clothing worn by one of the performers in the video. And that item, the piece of clothing, I think the specification talks about a dress or a hat, or it could be anything, but those items are identified, and then the user can interact with those items and potentially, if the capability is provided, link to and purchase those items. So this is real-time information about the video, and the system is trying to allow the user to interact with these things as it's watching the video. So the patent has a limitation for retrieving a frame identifier responsive to a request location while you're playing the video, okay? What Armstrong does, and this is taught in the Armstrong reference at pages, appendix pages 1914 and 1915, if the user hits the pause button, there can be pre-selected images that are displayed in a menu structure. And the way that that happens is disclosed in Armstrong at appendix 1915. And so what Armstrong does is it runs a frame counter. And so as frames are being played in the video stream, it compares the frame count to a range of predefined frames. And when there's a match, there's a menu associated to the scene number for where that occurs. And then the menu gives the viewer all the items that are in the scene, okay? So that's very different conceptually than the 282 patent. The 282 patent does this on and Amazon characterized it this way, by the way, on a frame by frame basis, not a scene basis, but a much more specific basis. By doing it the 282 patent way, where you have identify a frame identifier responsive to a request location, the system ends up presenting the item information associated with that frame. Other limitations go on to be able to associate it with items at that frame or items in a predefined, like 10-second range. But what Armstrong does is it counts where the user is in the video, and if he or she pushes pause, it doesn't give you a frame identifier in response to the play location, which is the frame where you pause. It gives you a menu based upon the whole scene, and then it shows you all the items in that scene. Which the reason that the 282 patent system is a superior and improved architecture is that people probably, you know, if you show everybody all the items in the whole scene, the user's probably seeing a lot of things that really didn't motivate them to click the button in the first place. They clicked the button most likely for what they were looking at, not for every single item in the whole scene. And so the 282 methodology is designed to be frame accurate, and the claims are drafted to accomplish that. And Armstrong has a different approach and carries out its approach in a different way with a different architecture. But for purposes of this limitation, and this is borne out in this limitation, so the limitation is retrieving a video frame identifier responsive to a request location. Well, in Armstrong, the menu that's presented is not responsive to the request location. It's related to the entire scene, not the particular location where the user pressed the button. And so for that reason, Armstrong doesn't disclose this limitation. So in the patent, the way the claim is phrased, there's a relationship claimed between the term video frame identifier and the location. The location has to be responsive to the frame. The frame identifier has to be responsive to the location. That doesn't happen in Armstrong because the identifiers aren't responsive to the location. And it's an important distinction, and that's why I was sort of explaining the overall differences between how the two systems operate. Because one of the next steps that's claimed is displaying information associated with the frame identifier, right? So in the patented system, you retrieve a frame identifier responsive to a particular request location, and then you display the item information associated with that frame identifier. So as I was saying, in the patented system, you get the item that you wanted to see. You get the item shown to you that corresponds to the request location that you hit the button on. In Armstrong, you don't get that item. You may get that item, but you'll get, you know, potentially a bunch of other items as well, which you didn't ask for. And so—
So what? The board said it discloses it even though it provides more than the claim requires.
Well, one is an improvement on the other, Your Honor. And so the patented system requires for control at a much more granular level than the prior art system. And so that's the so what. I mean,
where does the claim say that you can't retrieve other information?
Well, it says that where it says it is in this limitation. It says it by having the frame identifier must be responsive to the request location. And in Armstrong, the menu isn't responsive to the request location. That's how it's different. In Armstrong, it's giving you items for the scene in which the request location was in, but that scene could be 5 minutes long. And so it's not responsive to the particular request location where you press the button. And typically, you know, the patent talks about how you express request location. And the prime example of how to express a request location is using the hours, minutes, second frame format that's discussed in the background of the invention. So it's identifying the request location by a frame number, not a scene number. A request location is a very particular point within the video where the request was made. So that's the gist of that argument. There's a different limitation at issue called, and this limitation is the contemporaneous. This is a different limitation. It's contemporaneously retrieving a second frame identifier that's different from the first identifier, and that's responsive to a location that's prior to the request location. And that's a lot of words, and at first blush, it sounds kind of confusing perhaps, but when you read the specification, you understand what they're getting at here. This is getting at the situation I alluded to just a few minutes ago, where the inventor is saying, okay, I'm watching the video, I get to a point, I click the button, I want to get that, I want to see that, you know, I want to see that dress. And so the first limitation accomplishes that for you. It sets up the accomplishment of that. The second limitation recognizes that people might not be able to press the buttons that fast, okay? And so it may take them a few seconds to press the button after they realize they want more information about an item they saw in the video. So in this aspect of the invention, there's this additional limitation for a second frame identifier that's responsive to a location prior to the request location. And the specification describes that the way that this will typically be implemented is that the system will predefine a period of time before when the button is pushed that will be included there. So the way this works is, in practice, as described by the invention, the viewer presses the button, that is the request location. You get a frame identifier correlated to that point in the video, and you get an item information in that frame. Also, if in claims where this other limitation is recited, you'll also get a second frame identifier that corresponds to a location in the video before the location where you push the button. So let's say that the producer of the system predefined it to be 10 seconds. So you'll get a frame identifier that gives you the item information for items that show up in the frame where you push the button and in the 10 second, and in all the frames consisting of the 10 seconds before you push the button. Idea here is to enable the viewer to get the item information if they didn't press the button exactly at the right time. Now, this limitation, this idea wasn't part of any of these references. None of these other inventors were seeking to accomplish this goal. And so they don't really have anything that comes close to meeting the specific requirements of this limitation. The board relied on Bergen. Bergen retrieves frame identifiers without regard to where they are in the video. So there's an example given of the baseball player, and you're watching a video of a baseball game, and you click on an indication that is attached to the player, and then the system presents a storyboard to you of everywhere in the game the player appears. So if the player was in the period, if you made the request while you were watching the fifth inning of the game, it'll show you if there was a depiction of the player in the third inning or in the eighth inning. It'll all be shown to you. The board relied upon Bergen's teaching of that to say that that disclosed retrieving a second video frame identifier responsive to a prior location. And the reason that that finding was is not supported by substantial evidence and is wrong is because Bergen doesn't calculate the frame identifiers associated with the baseball player in that example based upon it being prior to the request location. It just pulls up all the instances of the baseball player. And so there's no limitation that Bergen retrieves you the second frame identifier responsive to a location before you made the request. That's the difference there. Of course, now in practice, the reason why Abacasis is an improvement on Bergen is, if you're watching a video, let's use the Bergen example of a baseball game. If you're watching a baseball game and you stop it in the fifth inning because you want to read whatever information is associated with that player, you know, the Bergen system will show you all the scenes where that player is. So if there's a scene of that player celebrating at the end of the game because they won the game, and there's a scene in that video of the player jumping up and down celebrating the victory, and that'll be presented to you while you're watching the video. Abacasis is limiting what he plays back to the viewer to things that happened before the point that you requested information so as to not spoil the ending, whether it be a movie, a game, or whatever kind of video it is. So, you know, the Abacasis system is based upon obtaining information about items in the video at a request location, and also in this limitation, items that fit a predefined prior period of play of the video. And the prior art does not teach doing it on a basis whereby it's prior to the request. The Bergen prior art system doesn't consider when the prior video frame, whether the other free video frame identifier occurs before or after the request location. It's indifferent to the relationship between the second frame identifier and the first frame identifier. The claim language, though, requires the second frame identifier to be responsive to a location that's prior to the request, and that's the difference.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Carey. We'll save your rebuttal time. These explanations are helpful. Now let's hear from the other side. Mr. Heideman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I would like to begin by responding to a couple of the statements made about Abacasis in this IPR. And Custom Place Counsel is right. That prior art reference, the Abacasis prior art reference, was a prior art application by the same inventor, and it describes the same resuming step, just using slightly different terminology. The question here is not whether the 282 patent and the prior art Abacasis patent define video clip and segment in the same way. It's whether the prior art Abacasis patent discloses a video clip as defined here, and it clearly does. In the 282 proceeding that we're discussing now, the board relied on Amazon's expert testimony, found that testimony to be credible and persuasive. That's in the appendix at page 42. And again, Custom Place expert offered no opinion to the contrary. In fact, in his deposition, he admitted that this limitation was old and the people of ordinary skill in the art knew the benefits of resuming at the beginning of a video clip. And that's in
this just context. Seems to be repeating what we've already heard.
A little bit repetitive, but there's slightly different evidence in each of the two proceedings. So I just wanted to give the appendix sites for the evidence in the 282 proceeding. And so the Custom Place expert admission on that is in the appendix at 2492. I should also note that in this proceeding, the board relied on the background knowledge of a person of ordinary skill in the art and cited other evidence for that as well. Turning now to the arguments with respect to the Armstrong reference, I think there's some misunderstanding about how Armstrong was applied to the claim limitation that's challenged here. The claim limitation simply recites retrieving a first video frame identifier that is responsive to the request location. And the board found that Armstrong discloses this limitation because it discloses retrieving a frame number that corresponds to the point of suspension. This is in the appendix at 26 to 27. And in general, the board relied on both parties' experts. And even Custom Play's expert agreed that Armstrong discloses a video frame number, which is a video frame identifier, and that that video frame number is responsive to the request location. That's in the appendix at 2517, at lines 4 to 15 of his deposition testimony. Custom Place counsel argued that Armstrong doesn't disclose this because it identifies the menu before determining the point of suspension. That's incorrect, as the board explained in the appendix at 31 to 32. The board relied on Armstrong's disclosures and Amazon's expert and explained that Amazon's expert provided detailed testimony that was more credible and deserving of greater weight than Custom Play's expert testimony, which was conclusory and unsupported. That's in the appendix at 32. And again, Custom Play's expert agreed with essentially the board's analysis. Their expert admitted that Armstrong first identifies the frame count, and the frame count is then used to determine which menu structure to display. That's in the appendix at 2516 to 2517. And so Armstrong clearly discloses retrieving a first video frame identifier, a frame number that's responsive to the request location, which is the point of suspension. Custom Play's counsel seems to be arguing about the menu that's displayed. That's not part of this limitation, but in any event, the menu that's displayed is frame specific and responsive to the request location as well. Armstrong does not limit the frame, the menu that's displayed to the scene, as Custom Play's counsel suggests. There is also a reference to the fact that the menus in Armstrong are pre-selected. As the board noted in the appendix at page 32, at oral argument, Custom Play's counsel admitted that nothing in the claim precludes information from being pre-selected or pre-mapped to the video frames. In fact, that's how all of these systems work. There's some mapping done ahead of time by the author of the video, who looks at the frames of the video on the one hand and maps it and links it to the supplemental content that will be displayed for each video frame. Of course, that process is done ahead of time. And in that sense, the information that's being displayed, whether it's a menu or a background frame, is pre-selected. But the claim refers to what happens when the viewer is actually viewing the video and makes a request for information. And at that time, it's clear that Armstrong discloses exactly what the claim requires, which is determining or identifying the request location, which is the point of suspension, and then retrieving a video frame identifier responsive to that request location, which is the frame number. Then it goes on to the next step and retrieves the menu that's associated with that frame number and a background frame that may or may not be responsive to that request location. In this instance, the background frame is actually responsive to a different frame number, which is exactly what the claim requires. And the board found that Armstrong's menu is frame specific. That's referred to in the appendix at 31 and described in Armstrong in the appendix at page 1903 in figure 2A and at 1912 in paragraph 31. So the board's finding here that Armstrong discloses this limitation, the limitations that is being challenged, was supported by substantial evidence, including Amazon's expert testimony and the testimony of Custom Play's expert. With respect to the Bergen ground, as Custom Play's counsel concedes, Bergen discloses retrieving, and I'll discuss it in the context of the baseball example as well. If you're watching a recording of a World Series game from 10 years ago, Bergen discloses that you can click on an object such as the baseball player, and it will return, it will search for and return other scenes that have that baseball player in it, present the results of that search in a storyboard form, and then the user can click on those scenes and view the different clips, you know, whether he's at bat in the third inning or the eighth inning. And there's no question that that disclosure discloses exactly what the claim limitation requires, which is retrieving a second video frame identifier, a frame number associated with a prior scene, that's different from the first video frame identifier. Here, the first video frame identifier is a frame for the fifth inning. And the second video frame identifier has to be responsive to a location that is prior to the request location. So if you make the request during the fifth inning, the system's going to retrieve a video frame identifier for the fifth inning, a video frame identifier for the third inning, and it will contemporaneously display information related to both of those play locations. That's all the claim limitation requires, and that's exactly what Bergen discloses. Custom Play takes issue with the fact that Bergen also discloses retrieving video frame identifiers from after the request location, but the claim doesn't preclude that in any way. There's nothing in the claim language that precludes retrieving a third, fourth, fifth, or 10th video frame identifier. And there's nothing that precludes those additional video frame identifiers from being before or after the play location or the request location. The board expressly rejected this argument in the appendix at page 16. And the only support Custom Play had offered was its one paragraph statement from its expert that the board found to be conclusory. Essentially, what they're trying to do is import a negative limitation into this claim. And it's nowhere in the claim language, and that's why in their brief, they're resorting to their reference to what they believe is the clear intent of the patent owner to limit the claim. That's pure attorney argument. There's nothing in the claim language, the specification, or the prosecution history that supports such a limitation. In their reply brief, they argue that such a limitation should be imported because otherwise, you would spoil a video by returning results from after that location. And of course, that assumes the video is something that can be spoiled. Even in Mr. Carey's example that he just gave of a video with music, you can imagine that someone would, when they make a request, would want to see the music for the video, whether it's before or after. It's not going to spoil the video simply because it returns information that may come up later. And the patent specifically says that the videos that are claimed here are not just movies, but they can be news, sports, commercials, or any of a number of different types of programming, and that's in the appendix at 125, column 5, lines 58 to 63. So their arguments seem to be based on the theory that patent is limited to this movie embodiment when it's clearly not so limited. Unless the court has any questions, I will cede the remainder of my time.
Any questions from the panel? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Heideman.
Thank you.
Well, let me also, again, thank the Director's Counsel for standing by. Let me ask the panel if you have any final questions on the constitutional issue that you want to ask Mr. Meyer of representing the Director.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay, hearing none, we'll turn to Mr. Carey. You have the last word.
Thank you very much, Your Honor, and I'll be very, very short in my concluding remarks. Let me respond first to Amazon counsel statements about the board's finding based upon Amazon's expert about Abacus's segment constituting 282 patents video clip. The argument was made that the expert opined upon that, and that should be good enough. That's all we need. That's essentially their point on that. Don't look very close. Just got an expert here. Check the box. Let's move on. If you look at the board's what the board did with that at page 42 of the appendix, they did credit Mr. Bovic's, Dr. Bovic, his testimony. They say they credited his testimony as to how he interprets a segment in Abacus to correspond to the clip within the meaning of the 282 patent. What I want to emphasize is the board's finding about Dr. Bovic's testimony was only about Dr. Bovic's testimony of the Abacasis patent. In other words, it wasn't Mr. Bovic opining on, you know, the state of the art in general or what other references might have done or things like that. No, it was very limited. The finding supporting these claims, the board's findings on 7, et cetera, is based upon Bovic's testimony exclusively about what Abacasis's segment is. And so not about anything else, not about what Dr. Bovic thought about anything else other than what the Abacasis disclosure taught. And where the Abacasis reference itself defines that term segment so broadly and clearly without any of the qualifications given in the 282 patent's definition of video clip, Dr. Bovic's conclusion that Abacasis segment is the same thing as the 282 patent's video clip is unsupported. It relies on nothing else but his reading of that patent reference. It relies on nothing else but Dr. Bovic's reading of that Abacasis patent. And Dr. Bovic ignores the explicit definition of segment used in that patent and attaches to it narrowing qualifications in order to equate it to the video clip that simply aren't part of the term segment in the Abacasis reference. So because the only basis for the finding on this issue is Dr. Bovic's reading of Abacasis, and because Dr. Bovic's reading of Abacasis is at war with Abacasis itself, conflicts with the very definition given of segment in Abacasis, and by comparison, the definition in the 282 patent of clip, that holding shouldn't stand. Now, Amazon, interestingly, this is something they did in the briefs on both this case and the companion case on video clip that they didn't do in connection with any of the other limitations that we're arguing. For this limitation, they argue, well, even if the Abacasis reference segment doesn't constitute a video clip, there's some other references that we can point to that do. They don't do that anywhere else because they recognize that they're on thin ice here with the Abacasis disclosure segment. And I submit that none of those other things that they claim to point to are good arguments, and we refute them in our reply brief. But the board never even reached them. The board never considered whether anything other than Abacasis disclosed the video clip limitation. So if anything, I mean, we don't think those other alternative arguments work for the reasons that we've addressed in our reply brief already. But at a minimum, if anybody's going to figure out whether or not those alternatives disclose the video clip, it ought to be the board in the first instance, because the board didn't determine that in the first instance. It didn't consider whether anything except Abacasis satisfied the video clip limitation. And so at a minimum, this court should vacate the findings on those subset of claims and remand for the board to perhaps consider whether these alternative references that Amazon is pointing to might possibly show the video clip. But they recognize with their fallback argument that they're on thin ice with respect to this particular issue. On the other limitation that was mentioned about the prior to the request location, the limitation is in the claim language itself. The words prior to, which is the claim language, you got to give meaning to the words prior to, and prior to can't mean after, got to mean before. And so that's the support for our claim interpretation of what that limitation is limited to. If you're going to give effect to the actual claim language, then it's got to only be prior to, because that's what's used. Prior to cannot and does mean, does not and cannot mean afterwards. So with that, if there are any further questions, I'd be very happy to entertain them, but I really appreciate the court's time across all these companion cases. I know it's a lot here, a lot of references, three patents, and some of this gets very technical, and I'm I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carey. Any more questions for council?
No.
Okay, in that case, our thanks to all council. The case is taken under submission.